Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Do you like sports? 'Cause we like sports. Let's talk about sports. It's Sport Shack. Sport Shack. It's Sport Shack.
Sport Shack presents Irish Tales with Chuck Freebie and Bob Nagle. Stories from the land of the Fighting Irish on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Irish Tales. Chuck Freebie with the Tale Master himself, Bob Nagle. And the old Hollywood films used to have somebody shout, "Get the understudy." Well, the football equivalent of that is the backup quarterback. And Notre Dame will be using its backup quarterback coming up in the Gator Bowl on December 30th against South Carolina. But let's face it, in the first time that the Irish have had to turn to the number two guy to try to get the job done, either for a short period of time or for a longer period of time. And so we thought we might recount some of the days gone by of backup quarterbacks and their importance to the squad.
Well, and you talk to people now about Tyler Buchner getting a chance to come back this year and play and on a team that finished 8-4. That's not a bad place to get into. But somebody said, okay, you're talking about Buchner coming back and playing. Who's going to fill in for Michael Mayer? We're going to have three or four guys that aren't going to play. And I don't blame them because things have changed so much over the years. And, of course, we've seen devastating injuries come when you decide to play for your team. But there's a lot of people are going to have to step up, as we saw a couple of years ago in the bowl game when we lost our top running back to the NFL draft. And so it's part of the game today, maybe more than it was before. Obviously, when we weren't playing in bowl games, it didn't make any difference. The season was over.
Right.
Guys had gone home for the holidays and that type of thing. But it is something that's happened in the past.
Well, and just to follow your tangent one more step, and then we'll get back to the main course here. Somebody had asked, who do you think is most important loss of these three? Michael Mayer, Drew Pine, or Isaiah Foskey for the bowl game? And normally I think most people would go with the quarterback, but I think the way Notre Dame's offense runs, I think they'll miss Michael Mayer more than they will Drew Pine.
Yeah, who became Notre Dame's best blocker this season is Michael Mayer. Boy, when he lined up outside the tackle and it would come back and close down on the other team's defensive tackle, created some huge holes. He did a great job, and I can't wait to see where he goes in the NFL draft because, number one, Notre Dame tight ends have done great over the years,
sure,
not only in the draft but in the pros.
League is full of them still.
They still are, and so we wish him the best. And I love what Marcus Freeman said. Somebody asked him yesterday in a press conference, what do you say to these guys that are leaving the program? And he said, thank you. They all bought in. They made it a very successful first season, and they're Notre Dame men forever, and so we wish them all the best.
But back to the role of the backup quarterback, and, well, I'm not going to break any news here. You're a little bit older than I am. However, if you go back to the 40s, really, the fact that and I always kind of flip-flop them, but I believe Bertelli was called to the armed forces.
Right.
And somebody had to fill in for him.
Yeah. I think Frank Trepuka was in that era, and Frank came in and played tremendously well. And a lot of people, when they talk about the Greek quarterbacks and the Heisman Trophy winners, and they said, well, Frank Trepuka should have been one of those guys. And when you think about Frank Trepuka, when he took over, a lot of guys had gone off to war.
Mm-hmm.
So Notre Dame was playing with some people that weren't maybe the top players in the program, but then other schools lost their top players too. So it was all relative, but Frank Dubuque gave a great contribution to Notre Dame football during those years.
And, of course, he is also known as the father of Notre Dame basketball legend Kelly Trepuka.
Yeah, well, Kelly will give him a bump once in a while. Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, they had a lot of good athletes in that Trepuka family. But, yeah, when you look at the history, and, you know, a lot of times it can be because of injury. You know, you get into that first quarter of a game and somebody gets banged up. And, of course, one of the greatest backup experiences at Notre Dame in history was Coley O'Brien filling in for Terry Hanratty, who had sprained his ankle getting off a train on the way up to Michigan State.
This would be 1966.
1966. You're undefeated. You're playing Michigan State. You're playing for, theoretically, a national championship. And there's a lot of people call it the greatest game ever. And Coley O'Brien was a type 1 diabetic. And that was always a concern because whenever he would come off the field, the trainer would check with him, how you feeling? And sometimes it was a glass of orange juice or something to eat, and they got him through the game, and he did a tremendous job. And he was just one of those great stories at Notre Dame who, you know, somebody stepped up, did a great thing in that situation. Then, of course, he went on to help the Irish slip past Southern Cal the following week, 51-0.
Well, and O'Brien had – that's how he is remembered, is as a national championship backup quarterback. But that's what you're asking your backup to do many times, is to basically take the role of a baseball pinch hitter. You never know when you're going to be called off the bench to fill in. And for Coley O'Brien, the games that he filled in were memorable games, and he was up to the task.
He did a great job. And, of course, that same trip up there to Michigan State, Nick Getty wasn't able to play.
Right.
So who are we going to get? Well, we got a kid named Bob Gladjo. Well, how's he going to figure? Well, we're just going to have him block and run the ball. Catches the only touchdown pass in the game, which, again, is one of those things, you know, you see a guy, you point him out, and you say, that's Bob Gladjo. And they go, who's that? It's a guy that helped tie the game against Michigan State. So a lot of people had to step up on that trip, and of course that's why we don't take trains anymore. No, that's planes, trains, and automobiles.
We've told the story of Joe Montana before as well, and the fact that he almost left the Irish football program to become part of the Irish basketball program. But Joe Montana, even throughout his career, 75 and 77, considered a backup quarterback, wasn't really handed the starting role until midway through the 77 season. But in 75, I think the comeback wins that he was able to engineer for Notre Dame are almost as legendary as anything else that he did the rest of his career.
Yeah, you think about the game at Purdue when Gary Forstick had come in relief of Rusty Lish.
Well, that one was 77.
I'm sorry, 77, yeah.
Yeah, but North Carolina and Air Force were both in 75, and both on the road. And Montana comes off the bench in both of those to rescue the Irish. And a lot of people sit around and wonder, well, after he did that, why wasn't he the starting quarterback? But sometimes it does take some time for that to happen. You look at Clemson this year with DJ Uiagalelei and Cole Klubnik. And Klubnik rescued the Tigers a couple of times, but he wasn't handed the starting job until going into the Orange Bowl now. And Montana, even though he came off the bench a couple of times in 75 and rescued them, didn't even sniff the field in 76.
No, when Joe came in, freshman couldn't play. So he came in under Eric Parsegian, and then Dan Devine took over. And Dan was a pro coach at that time. He'd come from the Green Bay Packers, and they have rules in the pros. You can't throw the ball late down the middle deep. You just can't, because those guys get paid to intercept the ball. Well, in college, and as Lou Holtz used to point out, okay, this guy's going to play on Sunday and this guy's going to play on Sunday. These two aren't. Why not? And that's where you find your weakness and that's where you attack. And that's what Joe Montana was able to do. Even in practice, Dan Devine was adamant about, you can't do that, Joe. You can't do that. So Joe got into a game situation, and he did it. Now, he had a tremendous arm. He had a tremendous amount of self-confidence in what he could do. But that was one of the reasons, because in practice he did things you're not supposed to do. And he did that with the 49ers when he first got there, and Bill Walsh got him straightened out pretty quick. But Joe is very talented, and just that really bothered him, especially 75 after those two great comebacks, and he's not getting a sniff at being the starter. And 76, of course, didn't play.
77 brings you up to the Purdue game.
It does, and I remember sitting in the stands down there. Rusty Lish had been intercepted four times in the first half. Purdue was running what was called a junk dog defense, and it was basically a big wheel. The defensive end would come in, the corner would go over, the safety would come over, and it would wheel you toward the sidelines either way you're going, hoping that they would eventually get you. And so that pass that we threw with Rusty Lish was intercepted because they rolled right into it. And then for the second half, they decided to bring in Gary Forstick. Again, a quality player, strong arm, big kid. And he got hit. Fred Arrington put his helmet right in the middle of his collarbone, clavicle, broke everything. And it took him probably almost a half hour to get him off the field.
Ambulance had to come onto the field.
Yeah, and it was and I'm told that the coaches on the sidelines, Coach Devine turned around and said, Rusty, warm up. And a couple of guys went to him and said, let's put Montana in there. And so when Joe got a chance to come in, he made some, and talked to Joe about it the following day. And he said, the old plays that you run in the street, go to the Volkswagen and turn left, and I'll hit you right at the manhole cover.
And frequently Ken McAfee was at the manhole cover.
Yeah, he did that, and he went right down the field. And after two of those plays, I remember McAfee had told Joe, he said, which way do you want me to go now? And he said, just curl. He said, well, they have that covered. He said, I'm not throwing you. So he threw it to Chris Haynes on the sidelines for a chair route touchdown, and Joe just had that ability to do that. And he was such a great leader in that after they lost to Mississippi early in that season, the guys got together and they, we can complain about play calling, coaching, all that, but we don't get to come back. This is it. And so they really got focused. They really put it together, got down to the final game. And, Notre Dame had a good season. Let's put them against number one Texas and let them go away. And, of course, they had a great game against Texas. And Lou Holt claims that that's one of the national championships that he won for Notre Dame because his Arkansas Razorbacks beat Oklahoma, who figured would be the number one team. And we jumped from 5-1. Can that even happen again?
No. No, it can't. at least not right now, because if you're number five, you're not in the playoffs.
Right.
That'll change. But for this year, no, it can't happen. Now, there are the arguments, too, that sometimes the backup quarterback and the number one quarterback are too close together. And that's one of the problems Jerry Faust had when he first came to Notre Dame, is he either couldn't or didn't want to make a decision between Blair Keel and Scott Grooms. And some people say when you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. And it sure seemed that way for a while for the Irish.
Yeah, and they were both good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Jerry wanted everybody at Notre Dame to have the Notre Dame experience. He didn't want to take a senior or a junior and say, hey, I'm going to go with my freshman or sophomore, and it's going to curtail your career here at Notre Dame. He didn't want to do that. He wanted everybody to have their experience. And so when it came time to make a tough decision between those two quarterbacks, it was tough on Jerry because no matter which one you choose, the other one's going to be, on the sidelines. And so they competed. They made each other better, I thought, and had great respect for one another. But, Blair Keel winds up playing the most, winds up playing in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
Had a tremendous game. I'll never forget the game against Pittsburgh. You're playing number one Pittsburgh at their place.
1982.
And, I loved the screen pass to Alan Pinkett right in the middle of the field late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always tries to throw the sidelines to stop the clock, and we threw it right down the middle. Great play call, and Irish wound up winning a game against a very talented team with Dan Marino, I believe it was.
We inadvertently, by the way, skipped over a backup quarterback who has a place in Notre Dame lore. 1980, the backup quarterback for the Irish was Tim Cagle. He wasn't recognized for anything that he did as a quarterback, but he was a holder for one of the more famous kicks in Irish.
Is that Harry Oliver lining up? Yeah, Tim Cagle, you know, the matter of fact, out of the three people that were involved in that, the center, the holder, and the kicker, Tim's the only one left. And and Tim was, again, a quality backup, and he's done tremendously well in the Speakers Bureau business.
He's made a career off of one hole.
That's right. And but, you know, he was there, and he was ready. He did the job, and it takes so many things. You know, every day in practice, as you said earlier, you never know. You know, if you're that guy that might pinch hit in the eighth inning, you got to have a bat in your hand in the third inning, and you got to be thinking, you know, I could get in there. And so Tim Cagle was one of those guys. And, you know, one thing about all the backups that we talk about, they all made the starter better. Mm-hmm. They all pushed the starter in practice. And so that was a neat time for Tim Cagle, certainly, and a memorable day.
It's not always peaches and cream, though. I think of the, I believe it was the 1984 Irish. Steve Berline gets hurt against Air Force. And a kid by the name of Jim O'Hara comes into the game. Poor Jim O'Hara. just had a miserable day throwing the football. And that was part of when Fisher DeBerry won four straight at Air Force against Notre Dame. So it's not always a Cinderella story for the backup. But sometimes, too, the backup plays a different role. And I think of a changeup quarterback that Notre Dame had that I don't think a lot of people remember, and that's a kid by the name of Paul Fela,
right,
who was a two-sport athlete, outstanding shortstop on the baseball team, but he was the backup quarterback on the football team. And Lou Holtz liked to use him as a red zone running option down by the goal line.
Yeah, he came in a couple times, matter of fact, after injuries, and did a great job while he was in there. He also had some tremendous plays, especially toward the end of games. I'm thinking about Paul Fela had made his mark at Notre Dame and was remembered well. I thought maybe if Paul had concentrated solely on football, mm-hmm. might have even done better, but he was a very gifted athlete and played some time in the pros in baseball.
I think Lou was hoping that by giving him a package, he might woo him away from baseball, but that never happened. A guy that's not really thought of as a backup, but he actually entered this particular season that way, was Kevin McDougal.
Oh.
So Kevin McDougal comes to Notre Dame, and he is recruited by Vinny Serrato, and he's the backup to Rick Meyer. And Kevin McDougal would later say, boy, I had no idea how good Rick Meyer was, or I might not have come to Notre Dame, because he was really good, and I understood why he was starting in front of me. But I had kind of served my time. 1993 comes. It's my senior year. I'm ready to go. Lou has brought in this freshman hotshot named Ron Paulus, and he's all set to start Ron Paulus. And then I think either the Saturday before the season or two Saturdays before the season, Ron Paulus racks up his shoulder in a scrimmage and is out for the year.
Right.
And now the job is Kevin McDougal's. So Kevin McDougal goes down as a starting quarterback, but he was a backup entering that year, and what a year he had.
He did. I never forget being up at Michigan when he led the Irish to a big win over a heavily favored Michigan team. And after the game, you know, he scrambled a couple times and had big runs. And somebody asked him, you know, was that something you thought you could do? He goes, I didn't. And Lou Holtz said he had great fear speed. When you got big guys chasing you, it's amazing how fast you can run. Michael Miller was on that team.
Yeah.
They had a tremendous day. And
Lake Dawson.
Lake Dawson was on the team. The thing about Kevin McDougal that I remember the most, you know, he was a world-class bicycle rider. Now, BMX, I think is what it was referred to at that time. But he had won championships. He had traveled around the world. So when he was on the big stage, yeah, it was new for him as far as college football, but something he could handle. And the thing I remember most about Kevin McDougal was he didn't make mistakes. He allowed the rest of the team to do their job. The offensive linemen did their job. Running backs did their job. He threw when he was supposed to throw. And, you know, you mentioned Lake Dawson. There's a couple of big catches there. He just he got it done. And what a tremendous asset and a part of the great history of Notre Dame for a guy to be ready. And, of course, the day that, you know, the collarbone went for Ron Paulus was just devastating because he was, you know, all that and proved to be in the years to come.
Well, I remember that Holtz press conference. He looked like he was about ready to cry.
Yeah.
Because he really thought that Rom, and of course, by then, I think Beano Cook had already come out with the fact that this kid's going to win two Heismans at Notre Dame. I mean, there had been a lot of hype around Ron Paulus. I remember the day he signed with Notre Dame, we had a satellite truck at his house and did a satellite interview with a high school kid, which just wasn't done in the early 90s. Of course, now it's all over the place with recruiting. But Kevin McDougal, I think one of the more unheralded quarterbacks, and went on to have a nice career in the CFL, lives down in Florida now, and, mm-hmm. and has a terrific life. You go forward, we kind of get back to the end of the Ron Paulus era. And 1997, by then he's got a new head coach in Bob Davey. The offense is a little bit different. Ron struggled his senior year. And Jarius Jackson is waiting in the wings and, again, winds up splitting time with Paulus.
Yeah, it was Jarius Jackson had a great career as well and played a lot of pro ball.
But not as a quarterback, as a wide receiver.
Wide receiver. He came in and I remember Ron Paulus down in, I think it was the Citrus Bowl when we played Alabama.
Florida State.
And wanted to interview him after the game. And the trainer said, yeah, you can talk to him, but he's not there. You know, he got hit so many times in that game that he suffered a concussion. And it was just a tough year for him, as it was for everybody when you have a change in the program.
Well, and prior to that, when Holtz was still coaching, Paulus he got hit pretty well during his days. And he got knocked out in the 95 season, and that's when the Irish went to the Orange Bowl and played Florida State. And Thomas Krug came in.
Tom Krug.
And Thomas Krug's claim to fame these days is he is the son-in-law of Dick Vitale.
That's right. And a retired federal judge in Florida. Guy had a great career and came from a unique situation, Los Gatos High School, California, where he had a coach who had ALS and actually coached the team by blowing into a tube and picking out the plays while his wife went down the list with him. And Tom came in with a very unique background. And, like, if you have any questions about toughness or challenge, you know, you've grown up with it. So he handled some things very well. But he came in, did a nice job, big, strong, strapping athlete. And then, of course, he got hurt right before the bowl game. And then I had a friend, Mike Perona, who was a walk-on, and they were getting him ready. He was going to be going into that game as probably the backup, if not number three, and that's how the quarterback ranks had diminished that year. So you talk about being ready, but we had other experiences with that same situation.
Well, Pat Dillingham comes to mind, Ty Willingham's first year. 2002, the Irish are cruising along. They're 9-0. They don the green jerseys to play Boston College. And Pat Dillingham, who had survived a couple of near misses earlier in the season, couldn't survive that day. And it was kind of all downhill for Notre Dame after that point.
Yeah. Yeah, Pat's another one of those guys. You know, you talk more about his academics and you talk more about how he represented Notre Dame so well. And then you had to put him into a game. And we, at Notre Dame, we tend not to have three All-American caliber quarterbacks lined up. And we're hoping to have that in the future, which is starting to look pretty good. But Pat Dillingham was another one of those guys. It reminded me very much of a not a Blair Keel so much, but he wasn't oversized. He was a little undersized. Mm-hmm. But execution, do what you're asked to do when you're asked to do it. And he got it done.
Had won a game against Michigan State earlier in the year. But that's also the reason Pat Dillingham comes readily to mind these days is because that's the last time Notre Dame was in the Gator Bowl. And if you think about the quarterback matchup that day, it was Pat Dillingham versus Philip Rivers. Well, 20 years of hindsight tells you you should have put the house on NC State that day.
Well,
and they brought the house. They won it handily.
They really did, and he went on to have a great career in the pros as well. And when you think about all those names that come up as people that stepped up, that wasn't Pat Dillingham's fault.
No.
In that game. He did the best he could, but that was a great, great win for North Carolina State.
And then, of course, if you go through the Brian Kelly years, there were many times that the backup had to step up. And two guys basically got their starting jobs that way. Malik Zaire, and then Malik Zaire gets hurt against Virginia and in 2015. And DeShone Kizer comes in and basically takes the job from him with his performance the rest of the 2015 season. Didn't go as well in 2016. Wound up getting drafted. But those are two that come to mind where they come off the bench and their performance is so good for a prolonged period of time that they become the starters.
Yeah, and I think about those two guys in particular in that football used to be a commitment of 4 years. I'm going to come in as a freshman. I'm going to learn the system. I'm going to work my way in. And those two guys probably would have been better off staying the entire time at Notre Dame. And I don't have any question about DeShone Kizer going out early. He was drafted by Cleveland. He got beat up in the pros, and he had a couple of years. He had some coffee and things like that. But I would love to have seen him come back for his senior year. I think that would have been really good. And another name that comes to mind. I know we slipped by this one, but Arnaz Battle. Who wound up being our starting quarterback, and then he broke a bone in his wrist. And he was a tremendous athlete, and Nebraska wanted him very badly. And because he was a prototypical quarterback of what we see today, the runner, passer, RPO guy. And he broke his wrist, and he wasn't able to play quarterback, but he jumped in there and said, "Hey, throw me the ball." And he was very effective for us, and then, of course, went on to have a great career in the pros.
And speaking of people slipping by, and you can tell how much rehearsal we put into the show, Tommy Rees,
yes,
as a backup to Everett Golson in 2012, I realize some people wish Notre Dame had not played in that national championship game against Alabama, but they don't reach the national championship game if it's not for the play of Rees as a backup, winning the Purdue game and coming in relief in a couple of others when Golson was struggling.
Yeah, and Golson was one of those guys, too, that had a toolbox that had a lot of great tools in it, and then he had some that were a little inefficient, but he was a quality quarterback. And when Tommy Rees comes into the ball game, again, do what I ask you to do when I ask you to do it, that type of quarterback. He did have a couple of things that happened in his career at Notre Dame that were questionable. I'll never forget the Tulsa game was a tough situation, but again, he was a guy that, under the pressure of being the starting quarterback at Notre Dame, handled it pretty well.
Well, and I go back to that Tulsa game and everything else that happened that week with the death of Declan Sullivan. And I'm not sure that, yes, Tommy Rees threw a pass that Brian Kelly didn't want him to throw, but I don't know that that team was adequately prepared given the events of that week, nor do I think they could have been. You look at the rest of that season, though, for Tommy Rees, that was a team that was 3-5. He's in there as a freshman. He engineers a win over a Utah team that was ranked number 10. And then Notre Dame goes on a roll, and his next three starts are at Notre Dame Stadium, Yankee Stadium, and the L.A. Coliseum. They sweep them, and they go to the Sun Bowl and hammer Miami, thanks to a great day from Harrison Smith with three interceptions.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the presence of mariachi band.
You got to love it, mariachi
band. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
So Tommy Rees has a role as a backup quarterback. And then if you want to fast forward towards the end of the Kelly years, you take a look at what Ian Book was able to do. Well, remember, Ian Book was a backup quarterback. And he came in and started a game against Wake Forest midway through 2018 and did not relinquish the job.
No, and I think, a lot of times, when you look at those quarterbacks, we've mentioned here, 8 or 10 of them that were very similar, you know, Blair Keel type quarterbacks. You're not going to, you don't want a gunslinger. You don't want somebody, you know, Joe Montana was a little bit of a gunslinger. But you want a guy, Tom Brady goes to the New England Patriots as, you know, a sixth round pick and winds up a seventh round pick out of Michigan. It winds up being the best quarterback maybe ever because he did what he was asked and told to do. And so these guys all came in and carried that that mantle for the Irish and did a great job with it. And, you know, when you mention Ian Book, you know, his numbers just jump off the sheet at you. And you say, well, yeah, but he wasn't that big or he wasn't that, you know what? He showed up every week, did what he's asked to do, and I honestly thought he might have a career in the NFL because a lot of coaches want that, dude.
Well, he's still the backup quarterback for the Eagles. I mean, there are worse places you could be right now than with a 12-1 team holding the clipboard for Jalen Hurts.
Not a bad place to be at all.
No, not at all. In fact, here's a little trivia. This is not Notre Dame trivia, by the way, so it might get cut out of Irish Tales, but we'll see. Do you know the NFL quarterback who has made the most amount of money with the fewest number of starts over the last 10 years?
Well, I'm sure it's a Notre Dame quarterback.
It's not.
It's not. Oh, okay. Because I know Terry Hanratty did a lot of that.
Well, he did.
Steve Berline did a lot of that.
Yes, he did.
And
Rick Meyer did a lot of that.
It's
Chase Daniel.
Oh, really?
He's had, I think, 4 starts in the last 10 years, and he's made somewhere around $41 million.
Wow.
So we can cancel the telethon.
Well, you know, and every time somebody, a team loses a quarterback or something, his name almost pops up.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's a guy with a lot of experience.
He does have a lot of experience. Not much of it's in the game.
That clipboard has never hit the ground.
But you never know when the backup quarterback is going to come in, so we'll see whether it's Tyler Buchner, Steve Angeli, who does it for the Irish in the Gator Bowl on December 30th. But that's going to do it for this half hour of Irish Tales. We're glad we could spend it with you. Hopefully you're still glad you spent it with us. For the Tale Master himself, Bob Nagel, Chuck Freebie, thanks for joining us on this edition of Irish Tales.
Sports Yak presents Irish Tales with Chuck Freebie and Bob Nagel. Stories from the land of the Fighting Irish on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.